Psalm 68, I'm entitling the message from the words found in verse 18. Christ has ascended on high. He came and he died for our sin, put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. They took him down from a tree and put him in the grave. 3 days later, just as he said, just as it says in Psalm 16, thou wilt not leave his soul in the grave, and he will not see corruption. Even though 3 days in the grave, his body didn't corrupt because he had no sin. But on the third day he came forth, and now he lived among men 40 days. And then, as we studied in Acts chapter 1, he led them out and they watched him ascend, and he ascended to glory. He ascended to glory and he's seated there right now. What's he doing? He's our mediator, our advocate, our intercessor. He ever lived to intercede for us right now as we worship the Lord. He hath ascended on high. We're not left to our imagination as to the subject and theme of this psalm. It's all about Christ, the Lord Jesus. It's another gospel psalm about his glorious resurrection, his ascension, and his victory. He mentions several times here all the victories he has over every enemy. God the Holy Spirit takes these words found in Psalm 68 and applies them directly to the Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 4, just like Peter does. In that verse from Psalm 16, Peter picks that up in Acts chapter 2 and said, David's not talking about himself, David's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember from our study in Acts chapter 2. Therefore, we can be assured that both Old Testament believers and new, like David, Abraham, Moses, Paul, Peter, John, all had the victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave through the blood sacrifice and righteous obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's every believer's hope. Every sinner that's ever been saved, since Adam's fall and Adam's ruin, their hope is all one hope. They all had one faith. They all had one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said of Abraham that he rejoiced to see his day. He saw it and was glad. Our Lord said of Moses, all that Moses wrote, our Lord said, Moses wrote about me. If you would have believed Moses, you would have believed me because he wrote about me. We studied in Acts chapter 10, to him give all the prophets witness. I've been studying what they call some of the minor prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Zephaniah, and they all speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. So that was Abraham's hope, that was Moses' hope, that's every prophet's hope, every believer's hope. David, the king, said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David said, the Lord is my salvation and my life. Now, think about this. Although these words in Psalm 68 were written 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came in the flesh, to fulfill them, it says in verse 18, did you notice what it says there? Thou hast ascended. Past tense, already done. You see, when God speaks it, it's done. When God decrees it, it's done. Thou hast ascended on high. And this was written 1,000 years before the Lord even came. And yet, it declares that he has accomplished all of God's purpose. He ascended up on high. And we know that he has, for when he by himself purged our sin, what happened? He sat down on the right hand of God, right hand of the throne of God. He sat down because the work was done. He sat down of a place of love, preeminence, and power at the right hand of God. And what's a blessing when he ascended, you know what? We ascended in him. When he sat down as our forerunner, we sat down in him, didn't we? That's the blessed truth. This psalm looks back to past blessing of God's people in the wilderness, how he provided for them. And it also looks forward to the coming victorious Lord Jesus Christ. And we can look back and see everything that he said, every promise he made, was fulfilled exactly as God said it would be fulfilled. Now, look at verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. I'll make just a few comments here, then we'll move down to verse 18. Let God arise. And he did. Let his enemies be scattered, and they were. Let them also that hate him flee before him. Who can stand before the mighty holiness of God? As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. And he did. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? You remember Psalm 24? But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. His name is above every name. God given him a name which is above every name. God highly exalted him. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jehovah. And rejoice. Rejoice always before him. Isn't that what the apostle says in Philippians 4? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. We are the true Israel which worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have no confidence in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ is risen victorious from the dead. Defeated all of his enemies. And the wicked shall perish. But the righteous, the redeemed ones, shall rejoice. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely necessary and essential to our salvation. If he's not raised from the dead, we are yet in our sin. You remember from 1 Corinthians 15? He said, if Christ be not risen, then we're not going to be raised. And if Christ be not raised, our preaching is vain and our faith is vain, and we are yet in our sin. Boy, that's pretty important, isn't it? His resurrection glory. This was prophesied in Psalm 16, and we know that it came to pass. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter applies that to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's ascended on high. Now, what does his resurrection mean to us as believers? Everything. It all depends. The success or failure of everything he said and did depends upon his resurrection glory. His resurrection from the dead is the essential declaration of all that he said was true, and all that he did was accepted of the Father. God is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. His resurrection is a manifest token of our justification from our sin. You remember he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification? His resurrection is a guarantee of our resurrection, for he is the first fruits. He's the first fruit from the dead. And because he's the first fruit, that guarantees that the whole harvest is coming in through him. Now look at verse 18. Thou hast ascended on high, that is the Lord our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, manifested in the flesh, accomplished our salvation, died for our sin, raised the third day from the grave, and 40 days later he ascended to glory on high. And he led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men or in the man, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Look at verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. He daily gives us blessings, even the God of our salvation. And that word Selah, it's like a big period, stop sign. I say it's a stop sign. It means to stop, think, and meditate upon this. He that is our God, verse 20, he that is our God is a God of salvation. Unto God belong the issues from death. From death. What abundant blessings given to the elect through the victorious salvation the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us. Our blessed Savior died for our sin according to the Scripture, was buried and raised again the third day according to the Scripture, ascended back to glory in his resurrected body, in his glorified humanity, and he is seated right now ruling all things in absolute supremacy. When he by himself purged our sin, he sat down. The God-man mediator, the God-man. He came forth that day in a real body. He said, a spirit. Behold my hand and my feet. A spirit doesn't have a body, flesh and bones as you see me have. The Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified body came forth the third day, and then one day, 40 days later, he ascended to the throne of glory. What a blessing. What a blessing. What does his presence there mean to me? It means everything. We have an advocate. We have an intercessor. We have a mediator. There's a man in glory with nail prints in his hands. What does his presence there mean to the believer? Everything. Christ is all in all. It means if one man ascended, many more will also ascend because he represents a multitude of sinners as the representative man. He's called the surety of the eternal covenant, the sacrifice of the covenant. You remember from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20, where it said, the forerunner for us has entered in within the veil and occupies the throne for us. Think about this. He didn't enter in as a private person, as a private man, but as a public head, as a representative federal head of his people. What he did, we did. Where he went, we went in him. He is the head, we're the body. Where the head is, that's where the body is. What's true of him is true of us. We're seated in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, who is it? The Lord Jesus Christ. You remember from reading Ephesians chapter 2, we studied that recently. But God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ and has seated us together in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers right now, every one of God's elect right now are seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. It's already done. One day we'll realize it fully and completely, but in the purpose and decree of God, it's already done. When he ascended on high, it says there, thou hast led captivity captive. You see that? The Lord Jesus Christ has defeated every enemy, has given his people complete and total deliverance from every enemy of our soul, sin, Satan, death, hell, and the grave. The Lord said, I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. And he said, I've got the keys of hell and death. He owns it. He's the owner of it. Let me read this scripture to you. Don't turn. Let me just read it to you. In Colossians 2, verse 13, and you being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which is contrary to us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them himself. He did it by himself, with himself, for his own glory. He led captivity captive. The next thing it says in verse 18, thou hast received gifts for men, or in the man, that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Thou hast received gifts, that is, blessings in the God-man mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. All fullness dwells in him, right? And we are complete in him. Thou hast received gifts for men. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. For what kind of men? For the rebellious also. What does that mean? That means the Lord Jesus Christ is going to save a multitude of guilty sinners. For the rebellious sinners. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is for sinners. Good folks don't need a Savior. They're their own Savior. Those who need a Savior are those who are great sinners. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is for sinners, for the lost. He came to save the lost. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, right? The Lord Jesus Christ came to save folks just like you and me. Rebels by nature. He came to save sinners. He didn't come to call good folks. He came to call sinners to repentance. Christ receiveth sinful men, even me, with all my sin. You remember Luke 15:2? Christ receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Eateth with them. Christ is called the friend of sinners. They said, this man's a friend of sinners and publicans. They did say that in a way of criticizing him, but that's the blessing of the gospel. He's a friend of sinners. Joseph Hart, many years ago, wrote this hymn, and I've quoted part of this hymn quite often. But here's the whole stanza. Though all are sinners in God's sight, there are few so in their own sight. To such as these our Lord was sent, they're only sinners who repent. What comfort can a Savior bring to those who never felt their woe, their sin? Now here's a line you remember. A sinner is a sacred thing, the Holy Ghost hath made him so. You only know you're a sinner if God the Holy Spirit has convicted you of your sin. We know that salvation is for sinners. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is made up of sinners redeemed by the precious blood of our blessed Savior. That, he says in the last part of verse 18, Psalm 68, that the Lord God might dwell among his people. Now what a blessing. The Lord God might dwell among his people. And God does dwell among his redeemed, his blood-bought church. Our Lord said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. He was forsaken at the cross, right? He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken that we will never be forsaken. He was forsaken because of our sin, our guilt. And because he put away our sin, we'll never be forsaken. He said, lo, I'm with you always. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, I'm in the midst of them. Christ in you is the very hope of glory. Look at verse 19. I love this. Blessed be the Lord. Well, we've seen that all through the Psalms, haven't we? Bless God who had blessed us. Blessed be the Lord who daily, right now, this day, today is the day the Lord hath made, who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. We've received mercy today. We might not even be aware of it or realize it, but all day this day and yesterday and tomorrow, the Lord will be with us to daily, load us with his benefits now and forever. Remember Lamentation chapter 3, it says there in Lamentation 3, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassion fail not. They're new every morning. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Believers do, it says there, they're loaded. They're daily loaded. They're carrying a heavy load, not of sin, not now, but of grace. Grace upon grace. He daily loads us down with grace. Grace for grace. He loads us down with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. He daily loads us with benefits, with blessings. And then it says, even the God of our salvation. He's a God of salvation. He's a God of all grace. He's a Father of all mercies. And he's a God of our salvation. Who needs salvation? I tell you what. Great sinners need a great Savior. And that's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He that is our God is also our Savior. He that is our God is the God of salvation. But we know that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord and it's planning. He's a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Salvation is of the Lord and it's purchase. He bought us with his own blood. Salvation of the Lord in its performance. You remember over here in Psalm 57, don't turn, let me read it to you. He said, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. Verse 2. I love that. He's performed all things. Salvation of the Lord in his performance. Salvation of the Lord in his perfection. We are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Look at verse 20. He that is our God is a God of salvation. And unto God, the Lord, belongeth the issues from death. What a mercy. What great mercy is this? Unto the Lord belongs the issues or deliverance from death. That is to say, all the fruits and benefit and blessing issuing from his death as our substitute are his to give. And he will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. All righteousness is his to give. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. All the blessings of redemption are his to give. We're redeemed with his precious blood. All the blessings of reconciliation are his to give. We're reconciled unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out into Christ, out of death, and find, F-I-N-D, find pasture. Plenty. Plenty of grace to help in time of need, for he's abundant in mercy and grace, and he's plenteous in redemption, Psalm 130. He's plenteous in redemption. Salvation, as it's described in the Word of God, is all of God. He alone accomplished it, and he alone applies it to whom he will. We know that salvation is by grace alone, right? By grace are you saved through faith. Salvation is through faith alone. Salvation is in Christ alone. He that hath the Son hath life. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, as we often have said from this pulpit and other pulpits, salvation is in a person, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is salvation. Simeon had it right. He was waiting for the consolation of the Lord. He was waiting for the fulfillment of that scripture in Malachi 3:1, where the Lord will come suddenly into his temple. He was waiting for the consolation of the Lord. And the Lord revealed unto old Simeon that he wouldn't die till he seen the Lord's Christ. You remember what happened? When he picked up the 40-day-old baby in his arms, he said, Now, Lord, let your servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Salvation is done in Christ Jesus. Most of you know Brother Marvin Stoniker, pastor up at Katy Baptist Church. And I opened up his bulletin. I think I got his bulletin on Saturday. I'm not sure. But he had an article in there. And here's, I'm going to read it to you. He said, a few days ago, I came across a card entitled Heaven's Checklist. I called him on Monday and he said he'd been traveling somewhere. And you know how sometimes when you go to a rest area and you go in the bathroom, they'll have them different tracks and signs. Somebody pasted this on the wall, he told me. He said, I knew that it was left by someone who thought they were witnessing for the Lord. Heaven's checklist. The card had 9 boxes to be checked, telling everyone that stopped would stop and read that when these 9 things were checked off, they would have eternal life and salvation. It was a to-do list. They would be for sure as heaven that if they were already there. And here's what the 9 boxes said. 1, do good things. 2, be baptized. 3, go to church. 4, keep the 10 commandments. 5, love others. Give to charity. Receive communion. Say your prayers. Read the Bible. Do. Not one word about the Lord Jesus Christ. Marvin said in his article, I'm going to have this in our bulletin Sunday, but no mention of Christ, nothing concerning his work, his will, his pleasure, his gospel, his purpose, his glory, or his sovereignty. The gospel of Christ, Marvin said, does not set forth rules and regulations for men to heed and do. And then he quotes one of my favorite scriptures, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The scriptures declare one glorious message to needy, guilty sinners. It's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, the religion, I told Marvin, I said, the theology of man is do. Do. Check this one off. Yep. Do this, do this, do this, do this. You're okay. Salvation. Now, this is back to my notes. Salvation, as revealed in the Bible, does not say do, it says done. It's not D-O, it's D-O-N-E, done. Well done, finished by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I love the way the Lord describes His salvation in the Word of God. Let me give you a few scriptures. I'll quote them to you. I've got them written down here. Isaiah 45:17 says this, "But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation." You remember Hebrews 2:4. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" So it's an everlasting salvation. It's a great salvation. Hebrews 5:9. "And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him." In Jude 1:3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of your common salvation," every believer is saved exactly the same way. And then turn one page over. You remember from Psalm 70:4, "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified." So believers love God's salvation. They say continually, let God be magnified. Let God be honored. Now, I like those words. Great salvation, eternal salvation, all salvation, common salvation. We love His salvation. But in the book of Psalms, the word most often used to describe God's salvation is a personal possessive pronoun, two little letters, my salvation. It's my salvation. 18 times in the book of Psalms we read about my salvation. 38 times in the Word of God we read about believers saying, it's my salvation. Now let me give an example. I want you to turn with me and read these. Turn to Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verse 5. We'll read a few of these and I'll be done. Psalm 25, verse 5. "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Right across the page. Psalm 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light and He's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now turn over a few pages. Psalm 38:22. I'm not going to read all 18 references, but a few of them here. Psalm 38:22, verse 21 says, "Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord of..." He's the Lord of my salvation. He's my salvation. Psalm 51, turn over there. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies." Now look at verse 14. Psalm 51:14. "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." He's a God of my salvation. He's my Savior. And I, one of my favorite psalms, turn to the only psalm. The only psalm. You know what psalm that is, right? Psalm 62. The only psalm. Psalm 62. Look at verse 2. "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is a God. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." Look down to verse 6. "He only." That's why I call this the only psalm. "He only is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." The last one, turn to Psalm 89. Psalm 89:26. Psalm 89:26. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and He's the rock. He's the rock of my salvation. Now, aren't you thankful and glad? He that is our God is a God of salvation. We're all guilty, vile sinners. What do we need? Salvation. He is Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is God our Savior. He's a Savior who really saves. He shall save all His people from their sin because He is the God of salvation.